Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about mental health issues that may affect us as we age. Many of us think of aging as a time of reminiscing, remembering family experiences with joy. However, aging for many brings with it some mental health issues. And to help us understand some of these mental health issues is my guest, award-winning folk singer, artist, and author Judy Collins. Judy Collins will be drawing on her own experiences of losing her son to suicide, her addiction to alcohol, and her struggle with depression at a day-long conference presented by Phoebe Institute on Aging, and the focus of the conference is understanding mental health and older adults. It is a pleasure to welcome Judy Collins to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Judy.
Hi, thank you.
It is really very special that you are willing to share your own problems and your own way of coming out of them. How did you come out of them, Judy?
Well, like everybody else, I've had to find ways to deal with what was going on in my life. And one of the first things that I found after a suicide attempt when I was 14 was that it wasn't talked about. Nobody talked about it. My family didn't. My mother didn't talk about it. When I had migraine headaches and was diagnosed with migraines, I had all kinds of help. I went all over town in Denver to go to all kinds of neurologists and support and so on. That was when I was 13. But when I was 14 and tried to kill myself, nobody really came up to the plate. My father sent me an apology that he had banged on the piano and been sort of loud and in my face about something. However, I knew that I had depression, and I had started drinking by the age of 19. I knew I was an alcoholic because I felt the same thing that I saw in my father, which was this kind of hole in the middle of my stomach. And I could recognize that that was what he was feeling. And I knew that I had despair, I had depression. You know, I grew up in an alcoholic family, and I'm sure that that was part of it. And then there's the chemistry that you inherit in your DNA. And I think that I had a chemical imbalance from the very beginning. So when I was in my early 20s, I said to my friend, who was a very smart person in the music business, I said, I'm terribly depressed. He said, why don't you go see Ralph Klein? He went to see one. He is treating one of our friends who's a singer.
And Ralph Klein is a?
Ralph Klein is a therapist.
A therapist.
And fortunately, he was not a psychiatrist. He was a psychologist, so he couldn't prescribe drugs for me, which probably means that I'm still on the planet. I want to start this by saying that I don't believe in big pharma for anything but major things like if you lose your voice and you take prednisone, it works. I don't trust big pharma with mental issues. I'm sorry to say that, but I have to offer that as a prelude to what I'm going to tell you.
Well,
so I went to see Dr. Ralph Klein. He was wonderful. And, of course, I got to start talking, which might be the solution to everything. You know, women have a sort of a built-in circle of communication because we do talk more than guys do about what we're feeling and what we're going through, whether it's menopause or or getting through our sexual changes when we're young. And so I was able to talk to Ralph. I think that helps me a lot. That was the beginning. But, of course, I was drinking. And I couldn't stop. And I couldn't stop until I was stopped, and fortunately I'm sober for 40 years, 41 now this month.
Well, God bless you for that.
God bless AA. God bless interventions of a doctor who knew what was the matter with me. He said, I know what your drama is all about, and you can quit crying and shut up and get on the phone and call the rehab and check yourself in.
How long were you in the rehab?
For the usual, 28 days.
28 days.
Excuse me. 28 days plus detox, which is probably 5 weeks instead of four. So I went to a place called Chit Chat down in Pennsylvania. 12 steps, big book. No drugs, by the way. One of the problems with now with their with the treatment, even in reputable places, which there of which there are many, starting with Hazleton and places like the place I went to, which is called Karen now, although it was called Chit Chat in those days. One of the problems is that when you walk in the door with drugs, alcohol, etc., they throw drugs at you before they've diagnosed you, before you've had a chance to get sober. I think that's a big mistake. I know why it happens. It's linked to the insurance companies. And the insurance companies will not turn on your 28-day program money until you get diagnosed in many places with something that can be treated with a drug.
Judy,
about that and discuss that at length, but it happens to be something that I don't agree with. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor, although I'm four times an honorary doctor, but I know from experience that had I been given depressants, antidepressants, had I been given drugs, I would probably not be here today. I'd probably be dead.
Judy, I'm an addict.
I'm a recovering addict, but I'm an addict.
Judy, how did you fare in the recovery process? You were at Karen Foundation, is that correct?
Yes.
And how long were you there?
I was there 5 weeks.
And was that the key to your recovery?
The key to my recovery is that I go to 12-step meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous being my main program, and I go all the time. So, I never, ever will stop going to meetings. Number one, they're free. Number two, they know what they're doing. Number three, the big book is probably the one single clue to what addiction is all about.
So that you have... You find that the AA program has been most helpful for you.
I'm alive and thriving because of Alcoholics Anonymous.
If you've just
tuned in, you work it. You know, that's what we say. It works if you work it, and that's the truth.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Bobrow, and this evening we're talking with Judy Collins, award-winning folk singer, artist, and author. Who, by the way, turns 80 on May 1st, who will be coming to the Lehigh Valley to the Phoebe Institute on Aging Conference, which is going to be held May 9th at DeSales University. And she will be talking about mental health issues for older adults and using her own experiences as well. So you found AA very helpful, and that's continued to be a source of your comfort today. Is that correct?
It's not very helpful. It's the only answer that really works. I'm sorry. I contradict all of the arguments that I hear in the articles I read. It's the only thing that works. And, of course, that means a lot of things don't work, and a lot of people are up against the issue of addiction. But I will say that... you know, there are other secrets. I was very lucky because when I was young, I was preoccupied with looking good, feeling good, able to stand up and sing. You know, I've been touring for 60 years. I do about 120 shows a year. I go every place in the States and quite often in other countries. I live like an athlete. I eat three meals a day. I don't eat any corn, wheat, sugar, grains, or flour. As I said, I exercised starting very young because I wanted to keep my figure and my sanity. And sanity is the key. You know, if I don't exercise at least four times a week, maybe five, I'm really out there hanging to dry because I have to keep the whole system running at top-notch speed and in top-notch condition. I use a lot of homeopathics. I believe in alternative medicine. I believe that there are solutions to depression. Exercise is one. I like Andrew Weil very much. He says, you know, if you're depressed, the answer is exercise 6 days a week, 7 days a week, and eat a lot of broccoli. I love that.
Do you like broccoli, Judy?
Not particularly, but I will eat it on occasion.
So what you're saying, you have to do what you need to do to keep you healthy and well. That's what you're really saying.
You are the advocate. I am the advocate. I am my own health advocate. So if I need to find another solution, I don't go to Big Pharma. I don't take pills. I take a little Synthroid, which I've taken for years to modulate my thyroid. However, the only other thing that I ever take basically is an antibiotic if I'm very sick. And if I have vocal problems, I take some prednisone, which cleans it up. But everything else is, you know, if I have major surgery, which I have had a number of, I have to be very, very careful about any opiates. And I will take them under close supervision with my sponsors, with my MD. You know, but I've noticed that I had a couple surgeries last year and the year before, one on my elbow, one in my hand. And, you know, when I left the hospital, I was left with a bottle of 20 opiates. I don't need 20. I might need one or two, but I get on Advil and I'm fine. So part of the problem is that you are handed, some people are handed a bottle with 90 pills in it. That's obscene. It only makes money for Big Pharma. And if you're in a vulnerable position, it might cause you to relapse. So be careful.
So we're talking...
Throw them down the toilet. Don't use them. And don't give them to your friends.
At least ask questions and be... what you're saying is to take responsibility. Even though the doctor gives you a prescription and hands you pills, you really... What you're saying is we all need to take responsibility to really look at and see whether we require these whatever is recommended. So,
well, they'll tell you that you require everything. You know, that's the problem.
Now, we're just tuned. If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Judy Collins, award-winning folk singer, artist, and author, who, by the way, turns 80 on May 1st. And we're going to be talking more about her personal challenges with loss, addiction, and depression and healing. And when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening we're talking with award-winning folk singer, artist, and author, who, by the way, turns 80 on May 1st, God bless. And we're discussing some of her own personal challenges with loss, addiction, depression, and healing in the hope of inspiring older adults who are struggling with a variety of mental challenges. So what you're saying is you found AA, which was a source of a recovery for you, and you also were very careful about any pills that were being prescribed. Is that right?
Oh, of course. I'm an alcoholic. My doctors all know that. They will still hand me a bottle of 20 pills of opiates. I don't know what's the matter with them. You know, they're in business, too. We have to remember this is a very strange dichotomy in the American medical business.
You know, Judy, I'll share a personal experience with you. When my husband died many years ago, I became very ill and landed in the hospital with bronchial pneumonia, bronchitis, etc. I guess it was my body's way of mourning. And my physician, whom I admired very much, gave me these medications. And as I got better, I decided I didn't need the medication and it wasn't necessary. I was getting better and healed. And when I went to see him for an examination, he listened to my chest and he said, "Oh, very good, very good." And then I see he's writing a prescription. I said, "Doctor, you just said my chest and my bronchial was very good. Why are you writing a prescription?" Do you know what he did, Judy?
No.
He tore it up. He said, "All right, I respect you." And he tore it up. and I never got prescriptions again. And so I agree with you. You have to be careful about the medications that are being prescribed, although we tend to rely upon them.
I have written, as you probably know, a number of books about alcoholism and about my experience with recovering from my son's suicide, and also about food. Now, since I was very young, I've been a food addict, and I've had an eating disorder for which I've been in recovery for many, many years. Again, I recommend the 12 steps and the organizations like Grace Eaters Anonymous and or I don't recommend Overeaters Anonymous anymore because they've changed their mind and they don't have a food plan. The trick about the food, and my last book was called Cravings, and it has to do with this issue in my life, and also I give you about a dozen little biographies of the greatest, I think, some of the most interesting food diet writers, the dieters, including beginning in the 11th century with William the First, who was had a problem with food. So I can tell you that the same foods that we're allergic to that make us fat are the same foods that are in alcohol. They're sugar, grains, flour, corn, and wheat. So if you can knock those off of your diet intake, you'll be better off. And I can't tell you how important it is to know that alcoholics and drug addicts are not the only people who have allergies. People in the general public who eat too much, and you know what, the statistics are terrifying, about 30 or 40%, 50-40% of us are overweight, and about 30-40% are obese. I mean, that's dangerous. That's destroying our healthcare ability to take care of people. It's wrecking the business of healthcare, I think.
Judy, fundamental
things, including diabetes, including hypertension, including overweight, it is a huge drain on our economy to treat what basically is eating disorder issues.
Judy, when you are addressing, you will be coming to the Phoebe Institute on Aging conference. Are you going to be talking about food addiction as well, or will you also address some mental health issues?
Well, they're all the same thing. One of the problems with eating disorders and alcoholism is they make you crazy. They give you problems. You know, one of the highlights of an eating disorder is depression and despair. And if you cut eating sugar and grains and flour and wheat, you'll find that those issues disappear. Of course, you can go to therapists for years and years and years and talk about depression and talk about, you know how many years I spent in therapy talking about my problems, which fundamentally were alcoholism, food addiction. So I know that we have there are people who must be on medication, who must be treated for bipolar. That's not the whole population who is being treated with depressants, antidepressants, and drugs to take care of the issues that come about when we eat too much and drink too much. We're in deep trouble. So it begins, but with body, mind, spirit. You've got to find a way out of this trap of the drugs and the booze and the food.
And
there are simple ways to do this that are free. They don't cost a fortune. They don't drain your health care plan. And they help you to live a healthy, abundant, at any age. You know, of course I'm going to be 80, but it doesn't make any difference. I do have the conviction that I'm young and I always will be young.
Well, I think you sound young and you are Talking Young. So are you saying that when you address the conference, the Phoebe Institute on Aging conference, where you're going to be addressing on May 9th at DeSales University in Bethlehem, are you going to be stressing the idea that mental health issues correlate with the way we feed our body and how we take care of our body?
Of course. That's one of many subjects that I will discuss, but of course. It starts with consciousness, with a thorough, determined effort to find out where it is that I have to go to get healthy. And it is not the doctor's office with a bunch of pills. That's not where we start. We might have to end there in chemo. We might have to end there with a treatment for cancer. I don't know what it is about cancer, but I do know that cancer feeds on sugar. That I do know. And I do know that most people now who in the business of dietary control will tell you that wheat is a cause of depression. It's a cause of wheat belly. It's a cause of many, many, many problems.
And
so we take wheat out, we take sugar. Start a little at a time. Try to get things back on track.
So, and also anything white, anything white. Do you agree with that?
Sugar, grains, flour, corn, and wheat are the culprits.
So, and if you're able to convince your audience on May 9th at the Phoebe Institute on Aging Conference, that you feel will be a gateway to relief of other problems such as depression and other problems that people are struggling with.
You know, I don't believe that anything I say is going to fundamentally change anybody's mind, but there's only one story that I have to tell, and it's about recovery. And so I have to talk about what I've done to recover, the kinds of pain that I've gone through, and the kinds of joy that I experience because I've been relieved of so many demons.
Can you give us an example?
When I was, of course, drinking actively, I drank for about 23 years, alcoholically, almost destroyed me, certainly ruined my career. At the time, I was 30, 38. By that time, my career was really over. So getting sober was primary. If I hadn't gotten sober, I would be dead. If I wasn't in AA, I would be dead. I'm quite sure of that. I was able to give up smoking in 1970, which, of course, brought on the eating disorder with a roar. But I had to do that. I had to get the cigarettes out of my life. And I had to get the booze out of my life. And I had to get the food online, in line. And each of those issues have to do with living through life on life's terms. Now, suicide is a peculiar and strange and awful thing to go through. When you're a suicide survivor, you know, they say, and I've noticed this lately in the literature, that we don't say we committed suicide or someone committed suicide. We say they died of suicide. They died by their own hand. Because you don't commit something which is driven by a mental health condition. And if you have issues with suicide ideology, get yourself to a physician, get yourself to a hospital, get yourself to somebody who knows what to do with you. Because you don't know. You know, the talking to the person in your head, you're talking to the wrong person. So it all revolves around how do you live? What we want to do is to live a happy, joyous, and free life. We want to be creative. The source of my joy, of my income, of my stability mentally and physically and emotionally is that I'm an artist. Find something in your life that you need to do. You could paint, you could write, you could sculpt, you could make music. Whatever it is, find something you love and do it because it will help you.
So you feel that we really need to find what makes us most happy and do it.
And, of course.
And this is what you have found. And this has helped you to get over your son's suicidal problem. Is that right?
Well, everything creative has helped me, of course. It's helped me to live. I mean, it began when I was a very little girl living in an alcoholic family when I could sit behind a piano and have peace of mind and nobody would bother me.
Well, I want to thank you, Judy Collins, award-winning folk singer, artist, and author, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that we need to look and examine our own lives to see what it is that we're doing that may be hindering our own mental health, such as drinking, smoking, or are we addicted to food? And by understanding that that when we take care of these issues, then we can live a more stable life. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.